You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hey there! It's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports I Own College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. The I Own College Basketball Podcast. It's presented by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Matt Norlander is here with me. He's in a hotel room in Albany, New York, in advance of Sunday's round of 32 games there. I'm in a hotel room in New York City, fresh out of studio, CBS Sports Network. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel. Please do that while you're here. Okay, let's get into it. The first Saturday of the NCAA tournament. It's in the books. It was wild. It was fun. A lot to get to, obviously, but the place to start is in the West Regional in Des Moines. Final score, Arkansas 72, Kansas 71. The Razorbacks are in the Sweet 16 for the third consecutive year, and the Jayhawks, the reigning national champions, they're done before Bill Self ever even had a chance to coach Kansas in this NCAA tournament. I'll stop right there. Deadleg, Your thoughts on the reigning national champs being eliminated before Bill Self was able to coach them in this NCAA tournament?
You know what? I'm going to give a couple of shout-outs at the top here. I'm going to apologize. I don't have my normal board, so you're hearing me come through my mic. But our tireless, amazing editor, Marcus Nelson, assured me he'd be watching live on YouTube and smashing the like button like he's Brandon Davies. Shouts to Marcus Nelson. We appreciate everything you do behind the scenes at CBSSports.com. And I believe the one and only Jamie Erdahl might be checking in and watching right now because she tweeted old giddy up logo with the horns or whatever that is emoji. Jamie, you're doing an amazing job, continuing to do an amazing job as you always do on sideline duty. Jamie will be back on the sidelines for Sunday's games as she was for Friday's. I believe she is in Columbus. As to your question, man, Kansas is down. No Bill Self. I think that's the difference in this one. Credit to Muss. Oh, actually, I have something else to report at the top here. Just texted with Muss. I needed to get this on the record. I said, listen, I'm about to podcast with GP right now. Can we get a guarantee that another shirt off celebration is coming if a Sweet 16 victory happens? He said, he gave me ha 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 ha. Yep, thumbs up. I said, okay. So if you want more shirtless Muss, it's coming.
I look at that.
If you're watching right now, you're seeing it. You know what? I got to be honest. A couple of things. One, you'd rather die than take your shirt off in public, correct?
I think that's true. I would rather be deceased than take my shirt off in public. I can't tell you how many swim shirts I own, and I own them. People say, oh, why are you wearing a swim shirt? And I flip it around on them. I go, I'm not trying to die of UV rays. You want to die of UV rays? I make it out like I'm really – the only reason I'm wearing this swim shirt is because I don't want to die of UV rays. That's my official public position. The truth is, I hate myself. If I look like Muss, I would take my shirt off all the time. I don't look like Muss. That's a 58-year-old man right there. He looks good.
He's doing more than okay for himself there, without a doubt. There is a rising campaign in our live chat for you to take off your shirt. And they don't want peacock noises. They don't want razorback noises. They don't want tiger noises. They want shirtless GP on the YouTube stream, folks. This might be the last ever podcast we do if somehow we get to that point. So
I don't even take my shirt off at home. I don't even take my shirt off at home.
He's going to go to bed tonight in that suit and tie. He's not even going to change.
No, I swear to God. And if like people are in the bathroom when I have to get into the shower, I get into the shower and then I throw my shirt out of the shower. That's a fact. Okay. That's how much I hate myself.
We cannot recap Saturday's round of 32 games and get a therapy session in under 40 minutes, so I will continue. Congrats to Arkansas. The must taking off the shirt thing is feeling more polarizing by the year. I have no issue with it. The man is comfortable at 58 years old in ripping off his shirt in front of a crowd of literally 20,000 people. Like, more credit to you. I think it's a wonderful little side thing in the tournament and in college basketball. Must keep doing you for Kansas. Yeah, I mean, the loss comes as not a stunner. I mean, it's not a stunner. We talked about this was the hardest region, and we talked about it not just because of second round stuff, but this exact reason is that you run into a team with two lottery picks, a good defense, and Arkansas was a preseason top 10 team. Although, in the way that it was done, pretty surprising with Arkansas. Had Bill Self been on the sideline, I actually think maybe it does make a difference. I think you can easily argue it makes a difference. We're talking about a 1-point difference at the end there. But Arkansas didn't get a huge game out of Nick Smith. Didn't get any game. Future top 5 pick potentially scored 0 points. It was all Devo Davis, who had 25. Ricky Council had 21. Devo Davis was awesome. His post-game interview, give another shout-out. Allie LaForce did a great, great job. And that emotional scene was tremendous. We were light on dramatics for the most part on Saturday. We got some big stuff. We'll get to Princeton, obviously. But there's been a few awesome post-game interview scenes we've gotten over the past 3 days. And Devo Davis kind of breaking down and just trying to explain how all the hard work is paying off. And I get where he's coming from, because Arkansas had lost 4 of its last 5 games heading into the tournament, was a popular team to fade for some. Arkansas only led for 1:43 in this game, only led for 1:43, but it pulled it off, man. And now I'll let you speak on the Self stuff, but I got a couple nuggets. All Final Four teams from last year, they're gone. That's only 2 times in the past 17 years that Final Four teams from one season were all out before we got to the Sweet 16. And Kansas continues a trend where the reigning national champion does not make the Sweet 16. The last time we got it was 2016 with Duke. And now with Purdue and Kansas losing, 2023 becomes the 5th tournament since we expanded in 85 to have 2 one seeds gone before the regional semis. 2018, 2004, 2000, and 1981 are the other tournaments to have 2. There has never been a tournament with 3 ones or more gone before the Sweet 16. That will continue. Bama and Houston, we'll get to you, obviously, both won on Saturday. Congrats to Arkansas. You know, this team has gone to 3 straight second weekends. It's going to try and get to 3 straight Elite Eights, and it's done this after going 2.5 decades without it. And did the rare thing where it beat a one seed in its region in back-to-back years. That almost never happens. Arkansas was the 4th team to ever do that. What are your thoughts on the game and not having Bill Self for Kansas? Was that ultimately the thing that you believe did the Jayhawks in?
This is the problem with talking about this, is because if you say that, it feels like you're taking away from what Arkansas just did. And I'm not that interested in taking away from Arkansas going to the Sweet 16 for the 3rd consecutive year, after that school had not been before it hired Muss since 1996. You remember, like, this, that's something you and I used to reference all the time. Like, Arkansas went to a million Sweet 16s in a very short amount of time under Nolan Richardson, and then it just stopped. Like, if I would have told you in 1996, you will not go back to the NCAA tournament Sweet 16 again until 2021. Like, that is unimaginable. It would be like somebody telling a Duke fan, you're not going back to the Sweet 16 for 30 years, whatever it was. Like, what? How does that even happen? But that is what Arkansas went through. And so this is an incredible accomplishment. And you don't have to apologize for it if you're an Arkansas fan. But, yes, I mean, Bill Self is – forget my opinion. We put it to a vote of – a lot of us at CBS Sports in the preseason, and Bill Self was voted the best coach in college basketball. I think if you want to have that conversation, you're probably picking between Bill Self and Rick Pitino based on accomplishments and the fact that those guys are still operating at an extremely high level, even if Rick has been doing it at the mid-major level. But undeniably, Bill Self's one of the best coaches in the country, one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time. And yeah, it defies logic to not think that had he been on that sideline, maybe you can get a point here or there or a bucket here or there that flips this the other direction. And as I was thinking about this, you look at the now missed opportunities, opportunities that have been missed by Bill Self for reasons largely, if not entirely, out of his control. My point being this: in 2020, he had the best team in the country, according to KenPom. It was going to be the favorite to win the national championship. They were going to be the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. And then we didn't have an NCAA tournament. Dumbest pandemic of my lifetime. 2023, he has a number one seed, a realistic national championship contender. And he doesn't even get to coach them because just before the Big 12 tournament, he had to have a medical procedure, specifically had to have two stents inserted. And even though he had been in Des Moines with his team and at practices and around, based on Bill's comments, after consulting with doctors and big group conversations, they just didn't think it was appropriate for him to be on the sideline yet coaching a basketball game. But by all accounts, he was probably going to be ready to go in the Sweet 16. Just got to get there. And he couldn't get there. And so at the end of his career, whenever that is, there could be a game of what if that we play. Like, what if the 2020 tournament is played? Does he win that one? What if the 2023 tournament, he coaches in it? Does he win that one? There's no way to answer that question, but that is two legitimate championship caliber teams that he's had in the past 4 years, in addition to the one that actually won the championship last season. He's got two teams that he never got to coach. He coached them to what would have been one seeds in the tournament, but he never got to coach them in the NCAA tournament. As I'm talking through that, that's got to be like, that's never happened before.
Right. That's the only, because the dumbest pandemic of our lifetimes. 2020 is obviously the way bigger what if and more realistic. Not unthinkable. Kansas could have repeated, but we just don't see it. They were in the toughest region, and we'll see what the path would have been depending on how UConn St. Mary's plays out tomorrow here in Albany. But yeah, they went up against an Arkansas team. It was a really fun watch. You know, a bumpy game with some of the whistle. I get that. I don't deny that. I enjoyed the game, and credit to Arkansas for just getting it done, man. It's only two wins, but no matter what happens from here, if Arkansas makes the Final Four, gets to a 30 Elite Eight, but falls short, or just puts up a stinker in the next game, just two wins can help validate so much of what a team goes through in a season, no matter what level that team is at. Like, Arkansas is a power conference team with a national championship and obviously has made the regional finals the past two seasons. But with all of the injury issues and everything that they've gone through, you win two games in March. You know, you win your mini tournament. You get out of your region and you get into the second weekend. It can do a lot to just validate, you know, the previous 3 years, three plus months from before that. And it doesn't discredit, you know, the teams on the losing side of that. It doesn't. But for Arkansas and Muss, I think there is a lot to what they must be feeling after gutting it out and winning a really close game against a number one seed that got put in the toughest region of all. And it's going home. Kansas, you know, yet another example. There are plenty of examples of not, but yet another example here of Kansas getting booted in the first weekend. Jayhawks fans are all too familiar with this. Just, you know, when you are a 1, 2, or 3 seed every single season and the randomness of this tournament's going to strike and Bill Self not being available, like, you just, Kansas has a laundry list of first weekend exits to much lower seeded teams.
You mentioned the Devo Davis postgame interview with Allie. We see players, even coaches, cry all the time during this tournament, usually after losses, because it's over. The season's over. In some cases, your college career is over. We don't see people cry as often after wins. And that was what made that interesting. And, you know, Allie,
non-championship wins are like non-getting to the Final Four wins.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. Like round of 32 wins, you don't usually see players crying after them. And it was interesting to hear Devo talk about it, because he was like, you know, we just worked so hard to get here. It's been hard. It's been tough. I don't have the words right in front of me, but he more or less said, this has been, you know, we've struggled. and we had some stuff to figure out, but we figured it out. And among the adversity that that program had to deal with this year, Trayvon Brazil plays 9 games, done for the season. He was very important to them. And then Nick Smith Jr., like, even though he played on Saturday, he has still missed 19 of Arkansas's 35 games this season. He's missed most of their games. And when you go through, when you enroll 3 McDonald's All-Americans and Nick Smith Jr. is the most heralded of the group, you do a lot of planning around that guy being available. And then that guy's just not available. And if you remember, and I know you do, it was kind of like murky, like, what, okay, what exactly is going on with him? Is he going to play this? Is he going to rejoin the team? There was always questions about it. And that's difficult to deal with. Ask any coach. You spend a whole offseason planning around having a guy available, and then he's not, and then you don't know if he is. And then when he is, then he might go away again, and just a lot of question marks. And it's among the reasons, this is wild to think about, Arkansas started 1-5 in the SEC. Finished 8-10 in the SEC, 2 games below 500. But that's the interesting thing, or one of the interesting things about this tournament, is that it offers you a fresh shot. Like, hey, for 4 months, this thing has been really rocky relative to what it was supposed to be. But we got to the tournament. Now let's go win games in the tournament. And Arkansas has won 2. And, you know, as you know, they're now in the Sweet 16 for the 3rd straight year. And that might not sound like a lot, but that's tied for 3rd in the country for active Sweet 16 streaks. Gonzaga has been there 7 straight times with an opportunity to make it 8 on Sunday. Houston has now been in the Sweet 16 4 straight times. And then Arkansas 3, UCLA 3. Those are your active streaks. This is not normal to just land in Sweet 16s back to back to back years, but Arkansas just did it.
Good stuff on the Hogs, and we see how their journey may continue. I say we move on, GP, because there is, 15 seeds just now making the second weekend like this is normal behavior. Some strange stuff, but some amazing stuff here with yet another team from Jersey that refuses to play by the rules.
Princeton from the Ivy League. Sweet 16 as a 15 seed. It's a cool story. We're going to get into that next, but first, a word from our partners.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Princeton is in the Sweet 16 as a 15 seed, beat Missouri 78-63. Blowout. Mitch Henderson Tigers are only the fourth 15 seed ever to make the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. I feel like I'm giving you a layup.
Don't even ask me.
It's trivia time.
Come on. This doesn't even apply.
It's a trivia time.
Okay.
What are the other three 15 seeds to make it? It's a trivia time.
Dunk City 2013.
Yep.
Oral Bob 2 years ago.
Yep.
And then last year, St. Peter's. Come on now.
Name every school those schools beat to get to the Sweet 16. Trivia time part two.
Let's do it. Okay. Oh, so God, Dunk City. You? Yeah, Dunk City goes Georgetown in the first round. It goes USC.
No. You're thinking of where their coach went.
That's right. So it goes Georgetown.
I know it. I was there.
It goes Georgetown. It loses to Florida in the Sweet 16. And it's San Diego State?
That's right.
Okay. And then Oral Roberts 2 years ago goes Ohio State. Who did Oral Roberts beat in the second round 2 years ago? Bubble tournament.
I think I know.
That's a good one, actually. Oral Roberts beat Ohio State. Let me come back to it. And then last year is St. Peter's. That's Kentucky. And then Murray State in the first weekend. And then obviously beat Purdue. Who did Oral Roberts beat in the second round?
Okay, I just looked it up to make sure I knew it. But hand to heart, I did know it. I got it right.
Give me the conference.
SEC. It just means more.
Well, Oral Roberts lost to Arkansas. It did not play Bama because it wasn't on that side of the bracket. Obviously, didn't play Kentucky. Was it Tennessee?
Does Tennessee do this?
Oh, I'm not looking. Oh, Gator Chomp. Mike White. That's right. Good call. All right, fun little bonus trivia time. Ryan Langborg for Princeton had 22. Arizona, you've got company. Arizona was the only school to lose multiple times to a 15 seed, and that lasted 2 days. Missouri has also lost to a 15 seed twice. Trivia time, who's the other 15 seed?
It's the Frank Cate team. That's right.
Who'd they play? Who'd they lose to?
Oh, God. Kimmy English was on the team.
That's correct.
What were those?
Come on now.
I mean, I know it. It's like if you gave me a 50 team multiple choice, as soon as you said it, I would know it.
It's already in the chat.
As soon as you said it, I would know it.
Norfolk State.
That's right. Norfolk State. Yep.
So right now, Princeton is the fourth team from the Ivy League to ever reach the Sweet 16. Since that round proper began in 75, Penn did it in back-to-back years, 78-79. Cornell did it in 2010. And now on Saturday night, Missouri became the first team since Dartmouth in 42 to beat an SEC team in the tournament, first Ivy League team. The league was 1-10 against the SEC going into this game. And not just that, Princeton destroyed them, man. Yeah. Like Dunk City did this so other teams could – Dunk City flew so other teams could soar. With the way that they beat Georgetown and Florida, who could ever forget the Florida game, obviously. Mm-hmm. That really set the table for this a decade ago. The win was, 15-point margin, I believe, here? It's the largest ever by a 15 seed in any game, period. Now, UMBC beat Virginia by 20, which still makes that, beyond stunning because that was the number one overall seed. But credit to Princeton. Princeton held Arizona to 55 points. That team averaged 82 a game going into that game. And then Missouri, another offensive-minded team, dropping 79 a game, only got 63. Just awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. And continues to be an amazing story for a number of reasons. But the biggest one to me is Pete Carril, the greatest coach in Princeton history. He never made a Sweet 16. In fact, the last time Princeton got there was 67. That was the last season before he took over and guided that program for three decades. So Princeton is back in the Sweet 16 for the first time in more than 55 years. It was a 23 team field the last time that that Princeton was in this round of the tournament. And credit to Mitch Henderson, man. It is because the game didn't end on a buzzer beater. It wasn't just tension for 40 minutes, similar to like what Purdue FDU was. It isn't carrying this like massive amounts of energy as we head into Sunday, but I'm still wowed by it. I'm still floored by it. We've got an Ivy League team on the 15 line that is just bulldozing its way the way it wants to play into the Sweet 16. And I don't know who's going to win between FAU or FDU. That's going to be another
I know who's going to win.
Well, okay, go ahead and call your shot if you really want to jinx an entire program and university here. But we are guaranteed just a story that the nation will be paying attention to. At least one, and there will be more than one. Like Princeton, you know, it's funny how these Ivy League schools can get people to feel like all, you know, chummy and gooey and rooting for these Ivy. Like in no other walk of life are people being like, yeah, the dude from Princeton. Love.
Yeah, yeah. Hey. If you're cheering for Princeton right now, just know they're alums. They look down at you.
Yeah.
They think you're stupid.
I love the juxtaposition. I love the dichotomy of that. But that team is awesome, and I cannot wait to see what they do in the next round, man. This is 15 seed 3 years in a row. Obviously, a first in tournament history. This is becoming way too commonplace. I think it's no longer a shock to the system, and now we have grown to expect it, which just speaks to the magic of this tournament all the more.
Raise your hand if you were a sideline reporter on a Princeton game earlier this season with 14 stitches in your head. I was on the sideline for the Veterans Classic back in November.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. Princeton was there, and Houston was also there. Two Sweet 16 teams at the United States Naval Academy. Had 14 stitches right here, right across his stupid head. Princeton lost that game to Navy. Like, they took a shot at the buzzer, and it was a foul. Like, you can go look it up. Princeton player got fouled. Ref didn't call it. Mitch Henderson was furious, and Princeton started 0-2 with a loss to Navy. That's the way this season started. 0-2 with a loss to Navy, and now they're in the Sweet 16. That? It's an awesome story, and like I've said a million times, we don't need to spend much time on it, but like this is what makes this tournament so great. Yeah, it's awesome when the UCLAs and the Indianas and the back when North Carolina used to make the tournament, the North Carolinas – when they advanced, like that's the big brands are fun, but like FDU winning, the fact that we're either going to have Florida Atlantic or Fairleigh Dickinson in the Sweet 16 is incredible. By the way, Florida Atlantic, imagine you tell Dusty May this at any point in the season, I can promise you, you're going to get to the round of 32. And then you're going to be a 15-point favorite in the round of 32. Florida Atlantic is a 15-point favorite.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
What a deal. What a deal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Gonna bounce around a little bit?
Let's bounce.
Elsewhere,
and by the
on
way, as we do this, people are saying I look tired as hell. I mean, I maybe do, but I'm still good. I'm not trying to speak too loudly because again, I'm in a hotel room as you are, and I don't want the last thing I need is like being in the middle of a podcast and the front desk calls my room and it's because there's a noise complaint. So I'm trying to keep the volume like pretty steady, pretty low.
Well, see, this is where, just to clarify, you're in a hotel room.
Yeah.
I'm in a hotel suite.
Oh, okay.
I am in what they refer to as a suite. Okay. So I have plenty of room to, I can yell.
You know what people that live in, that get hotel suites normally do? You know what's common? If you're the kind of person that gets a hotel suite, you usually take your shirt off and walk around in it. That's kind of the flex move that you do. Yeah.
Oh, no. Too many mirrors. Too many mirrors, too many windows. Yeah. A lot of stuff going on. I will tell you that my bathroom they have curtains in my bathroom. And the other day, it's New York City, there's a building right outside my bathroom window, and my bathroom window wasn't all the way closed, and I had just kind of gotten out of the shower. Yeah. And I look out, and I swear, across the street, same level as me, there's a whole family out on a balcony. Yeah. I almost, that was a tough spot for me, you know?
Yeah.
It was a tough spot for me. I'm in what they call a suite, so I can be my normal volume. No, you know what it actually is? I just got out of studio. So you're wired. I'm not tired now.
Yeah. And I've been in the hotel for 4 hours.
Right. So, you've been sitting around waiting on me. That'll make you tired. The first year after the NCAA tournament got canceled, most of that year we worked from home. Everybody would just CBS Sports Network, and now we'll go to Gary at his home. Everybody just sort of stayed home. And so you had to sit at your house and just wait for the shows late at night. And it's one thing to sit around with a bunch of people in a studio and you're chopping it up and you're talking and you're wired a little bit. Sitting by yourself waiting to do something at 1:30 a.m. If you are tired, you should be. I'd be tired if I were you as well.
I'm happy to be here with you, and we'll see if we can get this out in under 40 minutes. This has been the under 40 minute podcast challenge. We have failed on 2 episodes. We might fail on the third. Let's whip around, tell the people the scores, and then I got nuggets.
San Diego State 75, Furman 52. My Aztecs held the Furman to 32% shooting from the field. San Diego State now top 5 in adjusted defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. Alabama beat Maryland 73-51. How about this? I saw this on Twitter from one of the accounts that tweets out a bunch of stats. I apologize. I don't have it right in front of me. But basically, here's the deal. Alabama shot 39.7% from the field and 28.6% from three. Still won the game by 22 points. It's the largest margin of victory in NCAA tournament history by a team that shot below 40% from the field and below 30% from three. So it's going to be Alabama against San Diego State in the Sweet 16 inside the Yum Center in Louisville. Tennessee 65, Duke 52. In another reminder of how this tournament is largely unpredictable, a Tennessee team that was 5-7 in the 12 games leading up to the start of the NCAA tournament, and a Tennessee team that lost its point guard to a season-ending injury in late February, that team is now in the Sweet 16 after snapping Duke's 10-game winning streak. So again, one team was 5-7 in its 12 games leading up to the NCAA tournament. Other team entered the round of 32 on a 10-game winning streak, and of course, Tennessee blew them out 65-52. How about this for a fact? You ready for this?
Ready.
A Tennessee team or a Florida Atlantic team or an FDU team.
That's how the bracket works.
Going to be in the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament.
That's how the bracket works. That's right.
Yep.
You can do that with any other part of the bracket too. You know,
that's the best part to do it.
We're ready. Watch. An Alabama team or a San Diego State team is going to play in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, but
you're not getting that on other shows. That's why you come to this podcast.
People don't break down the bracket elsewhere like that. No, the point is, I got it. Here's the thing. This is the point I'm trying to make. A Tennessee team that's – one of these teams is guaranteed to be in the Elite Eight. A Tennessee team that is still 7-7 in its past 14 games, or Florida Atlantic, or FDU. Think about that for a second.
That's the bracket.
I want everybody to pause and think about that for a second while I go close the curtains in my bathroom.
That's correct. You want to keep whipping around before I...
Houston 81, all right. Auburn 64. Marcus Sasser played despite dealing what medical professionals call an adductor injury.
Oh, okay.
So Houston's either going to play Indiana or Miami in the Sweet 16 of the Midwest Regional in Kansas City. Texas, 71, Penn State, 66. Dylan Dessou, 14 of 20 from the field, 28 points, 10 rebounds. The Longhorns, either going to play Xavier or Pitt in the Sweet 16 in Kansas City. UCLA, 68, Northwestern, 63. Jaime Jaquez, 11 of 19 from the field, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. UCLA, like we noted, in the Sweet 16, third straight year. Bruins are either going to play Gonzaga or TCU in the Sweet 16 in Las Vegas. I think that touches on the six games that we didn't touch on previously. I'll let you take it wherever you want to.
I'm going to do it in order of most interesting games I watched. Texas, Penn State would be the top of the list of stuff we haven't gotten to. This is Texas's first Sweet 16 appearance since 2008. Rodney Terry, great job. Texas was 1 of 13 from 3 and won the game. Dylan Dessou with the game of his life. He had 10 points in the final 5 minutes. Texas, by the way, made its final 6 shots, scored on every possession over the final few minutes there to salt it away after Penn State made a good push. For Penn State, Micah Shrewsbury watch is officially on. It could be Georgetown, could be Notre Dame, could be Penn State, but we wait and see. He will have options. He will be a richer man in short order here. Rodney Terry watch is also kind of on. I know you've talked about this on other pods, so let's not go back into that discussion as well. But Texas getting to the second weekend, extending its season, the discussion around Rodney Terry will continue, and whether or not he will be offered the full-time job will be one of the most dominant discussion points in that part of the country. Right below that game, Tennessee Duke, Olivier Kamwa was just, I mean, to me, he was the breakout star Tennessee needs if it's going to make a Final Four. He scored 27 points. That's the most by a volunteer player since 1980, and he did it in 22 minutes. Shouts to our CBS Sports Research crew for this amazing stat. He's the first player with at least 27 points in 22 or fewer minutes in the tournament since Calbert Chaney in 93. Shouts to Calbert Chaney, man. And Tennessee's defense doing that to Duke was what Duke did to a lot of opponents earlier this season. Now, Duke didn't have Mark Mitchell. John Shire said afterward they found that out literally moments before they were going to play. That obviously is a factor. But Tennessee didn't have its point guard and has had more practice not playing with this point guard. But Sakai Ziegler means more to Tennessee than Mark Mitchell means to Duke. And holding Duke to a season-low 52 points that tied the lowest points in a tournament game in Duke program history. This is coming 2 days removed from Tennessee doing the same thing to Louisiana when it held them to a season-low 55 points. It's impressive stuff. And for the second time in the past three tournaments, Carolina and Duke are going to miss the Sweet 16. It's happening now. It happened in 21. That only happened 2 times in the previous 40 years combined. We almost always get at least one of Carolina or Duke in the second weekend. Oftentimes both. We're not getting either for those teams. For Duke, good season, man. 27 wins. John Shire did a great job. He ran up against a team that's top 10 in predictive metrics and has been all season long. They got out physical. Tennessee controlled the game. Yeah, you know, they played their style. I know Duke fans are a little bit chapped.
They almost killed Kyle Filipowski.
I know. And, Kyle Filipowski deserves hazard play, man. My goodness. There was like 9 games this year with this dude just taking shots. But I know you agree. Shire did a good job this season. You want to put a bow on Duke since they are done?
Yeah, I think you can, and we've talked about this throughout the season. Like, so is John Shire's year one going to go down as successful or not? Like, it depends on how you look at it. Like, based off of preseason expectations, it's not successful. They were preseason top 10 team, and they were unranked much of the season, and they lost in the round of 32 to a Tennessee team that had just lost its point guard in late February, certainly late in the season, and a Tennessee team that had sort of limped into the NCAA tournament. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that when Duke was at full strength, Duke was awesome this year. It just wasn't at full strength very often. And then once again today, they run into injury problems. Not out of nowhere, but like a key player was injured in practice heading into this game. Yeah. And so I think as we sit here, now on March 19th, a little after midnight, it's now after 2 a.m. on the East Coast, I think you can say that all things considered, the injuries, the lack of meaningful returning players on the roster, all things considered, I think, yeah, I think you can say John Shire looked the part in year one. I don't think there's much, if you're a Duke fan, if anything, that you look at the season and you go, are we sure about this? I think you should feel pretty good about it.
Yep, you should feel good going into year two. We will see. We don't know what we'll get from year two. We will see.
I know. I know what we're going
to
get from year two.
I know. Here we go. So good job on Tennessee to break through. That was a team a lot of people were fading. But Rick Barnes is now 27-27 all-time in the NCAA tournament. I mentioned no Duke and no UNC in the Sweet 16. There's no Kansas as well. And if UCLA lost to Northwestern, it would have been the first time in tournament history that the final 16 teams didn't include at least one of UCLA, Kansas, Duke, or Carolina. But UCLA moves along with the greatest coach in program history.
Yep.
Chris Collins did a good job. Northwestern put up a good fight. They kept it close. David Singleton took what looked to be a just terrible injury, but then afterward he said he was fine. Nick Cronin said he was fine.
I love the quote. He said, I rolled my ankle. I'm fine. It's like, well, those two sentences don't usually go together.
And if you watch the play, it looked like he might be out for the rest of his life. Okay, so I'm happy to hear it. We will see. We won't see. He'll know, and people around the program will know how bad that ankle is on Monday, but we'll get an update before UCLA moves on to play its regional semi, potentially against Gonzaga. And if not Gonzaga, then TCU. So we'll see on that. If UCLA plays Gonzaga again, it would be the fourth time that those two teams have met up in the tournament. Good job on the Bruins. We will continue to preview their stuff as we move forward there. Northwestern, great stuff. Chris Collins, happy for you. Gets a contract extension. Houston, Auburn. Auburn was in control of the game for the first half, tried to keep Houston at bay. The Cougars got in foul trouble, and then the missed free throws spelled disaster, man. They went 19 of 36 from the line, Auburn did. Auburn was outscored by 27 points in the second half. Marcus Sasser at 22. Tremont Mark was awesome. He's the first Cougar with 26 points and 9 rebounds in a tournament game since a dude named Olajuwon. Okay? They had quite the night, and it was really impressive to see the way that Houston turned it on. They have a gear that is so much fun to watch, and they can thrive under any adverse conditions. They are just awesome. And they had four guys with four fouls late in that game, and they ran away with it anyway, playing in hostile territory in Birmingham, where Auburn had a heavy fan contingent there. Good on the Cougs. Kelvin Sampson may just face Indiana in the Sweet 16. We will see if the Hoosiers can pass the Miami Hurricanes. I will obviously be there tomorrow to watch that up close. I don't have a ton of notes on Bama, Maryland. Bama, yeah. They're extremely good, man. Like, Terps went from playing the first game on Thursday. They had to wait until the last game on Saturday. They tried to make it ugly early. They succeeded, and then eventually they just ran away with it. Bama's got you know, just ability to beat you up and down the roster, and they're going to get San Diego State. By the way, the only Bama coach now in history with two Sweet 16 appearances or more, Nate Oates and a dude named Wimp Sanderson, who's, you know, revered obviously in that part for his hoops. And then, yeah, to me, San Diego State Furman was, unfortunately, it was the snoozer of the day. It was the least compelling game. San Diego State got its largest tournament win by margin in program history, 23 points. It locked the doors in the paint on Furman, and that just did it in. And here's the thing on San Diego State. And again, we'll talk about this more as we preview, but I at least want to just set the table for you. I think that the Aztecs can really, they have good potential to make this one hell of a game. Like, Alabama's going to go into this, and people are going to rightfully be looking at this team with its allotment of skill all up and down the board and size and quickness and passing and just, you know, both ends of the floor. But I'll tell you what, San Diego State, now these teams are not Bama, I get that. But in the title game, it held Utah State to its lowest point total of the season, 57. In the first round, it held Charleston to its lowest point total of the season, 57. And then against Furman, it held the Paladins to his lowest point total of the season, 52. So Brian Dutcher's got some dudes, and there's a healthy chance that they can keep it close, and obviously a solid chance they could even steal that. So that's going to be a fantastic regional semi that I'm looking forward to. Bob Ritchie is really happy at Furman. We'll wait and see if there's a bigger job coming. There's not a ton open right now. We'll see if other stuff does, but that's the nature of this. You're a mid-major coach. You win a game in the tournament, and your name gets talked about more. Wouldn't surprise me if Wichita State looked at him among some others. So keep an eye out for that. But I think that pretty much wraps it up on, let's be honest, GP, it was a good Saturday. It wasn't a great Saturday, but the viewership is amazing. It was announced earlier on Saturday that it was literally the most watched first round of the NCAA tournament in history. So people continue to love them. Some college hoops, that's reflected in the TV ratings. It's reflected in our podcast listenership. We appreciate you guys so much, and especially the real ones that that are up super late on the East Coast. I see we've got a few people in Europe watching. So if this is an unusual thing for our international audience, well, we're happy that we can provide you with a little morning watch in this unusual time slot. But Saturday was okay. I think Sunday will be more like Friday. Like Thursday was good. Friday was clearly better. Sunday, I don't know where it's coming, but we're getting something. We are like Princeton was the big, big story. That was the fun thing on Saturday. Something's going to emanate from one of these four regions. I'm just not quite sure where it's going to be.
Well, real quick on San Diego State, my Aztecs, and then we'll get out of here. Did you see Brian Dutcher's like in the locker room post game sounds talking to his team? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was good. I liked it. He said, we're going to be hard to beat. He's talking to his team. He said, we're going to be hard to beat. He said, if we run into a team that can beat us, we'll tip our hat, but we haven't seen that team yet. I like the confidence they're playing with right now. And, you know, Nate Oates talked about it after his post game. He's like, I didn't see San Diego State, but I know Furman's good and they just shut them down completely. So, you know, that San Diego State team is, I mean, my bracket's busted up like everybody else's, but I did have them in the Sweet 16. Did you realize this? Like, maybe this is just something that's known and it's just slipped by me. No Mountain West Conference schools ever made the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. That seems, yeah, I just figured somebody somewhere had done it at some point. Like a Metro Atlantic team made the Elite Eight last season. Mm-hmm. How's a Mountain West Conference team never made the Elite Eight? And will San Diego State be the first?
It's got a chance. I'm not going to go that far. And the league has only existed for about 23 years. So that's also part of it. Mac's been around since the days, you know? Hey, listen, at least the Mountain West got a team into the second weekend.
Yeah, thank God. Just how about to the second round? Let's keep it
to the second round, and they kept it going to the second weekend. As we get out of here, what is your favorite game on Sunday? I'm going to read them to you real quick. What's your favorite matchup? Creighton Baylor, St. Mary's. This is in no particular order. Creighton Baylor, St. Mary's UConn, TCU Gonzaga, Kentucky K-State, Michigan State Marquette, Miami Indiana, Pitt Xavier, FDU, FAU. What's your favorite matchup of the day?
Kentucky, Kansas State, 2:40 Eastern on CBS, America's Most Watched Network. It's the network of stars. You are either going to have John Calipari back in the Sweet 16. And with this bracket opening up the way it seems to be opening up, like let's, you know, I think not quite everybody here can left in this bracket can realistically dream of a national title. But I think if you're Kentucky and you get to the Sweet 16 and this, you know, you can start thinking about it. You can start thinking about it. And if you don't get that, well, then you got Jerome Tang in year one in the Sweet 16 at Kansas State. That's awesome too. So yeah, I can't wait to settle in for that Kansas State Kentucky game. What's your favorite?
I'd love to give you FAU, FDU, but the line is so huge. But maybe FDU can actually do it. I mean, I tell you what, the country will be enraptured if that game.
I love this. Like, you just look at the games. Okay, I'm not even going to tell you the opponent, like the matchups. I'm just going to tell you the favorite team, and we'll go down the list.
Okay.
Xavier is a 5-point favorite in its game. Kentucky's a 3-point favorite. Marquette's a 2.5-point favorite. UConn's a 4-point favorite. Baylor's a 1-point favorite. Indiana's a 2-point favorite. Gonzaga's a 4.5-point favorite. And Florida Atlantic is a 15.5-point favorite. It's just wild to look at.
It's wild. Fairleigh Dickinson is 274 at KenPom. I'd love for that game to be close because we haven't had a 16 win two games yet. Two games in the tournament proper, obviously. FDU just did that literally going first four and then first round. My favorite matchup is probably Creighton-Baylor. I think that's got tremendous potential. That's a 7:10 Eastern tip on TBS. And then I just want to see how UConn goes from prepping for the up and down play against Patino's Gales to a completely different kind of Gale in St. Mary's. And their style is just way different. I find that game to be hard to predict how it's going to go, other than it would genuinely surprise me if UConn can get to north of 70 in that one, just because of the way St. Mary's plays. It's not impossible. I just don't think they're going to be able to. And there's a lot of different ways. So Sunday's going to be really, really good. I'll be there on Albany doing stuff for HQ. And then I am driving home late Sunday in order to get home to rest up and then provide you guys with a pod there soon thereafter to preview. So it'll be GP again with guest, I guess. Do we know who you're going to be on with Sunday night, GP?
He goes by Strong Jaw.
Oh, okay. There we go.
It'll be GP and KB Sunday night pod. Can't wait.
Let's go.
You ready to call it a night? You look like it.
Come on, Duke. I don't have my
shouts to
Roxy.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Huck. Shouts to Larnell.
Come on.
Thank you guys once again for listening, watching the Eye on College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. There's more of us than there are of them. That needs to be reflected in the comments. Let me see your bed back there, dead leg. Is that
it's
a us
been reflected
bed
or- in the crowd in Albany, by the way. Thank you to the half dozen people who have been screaming at me.
let's look at your bed. Is that a us? That looks like a them bed. That looks like a them bed.
I don't know about that.
Oh, it's a us bed?
I mean, well, I don't know. It's whatever bed you want.
It looks like them's. It looks like them's got a good night's sleep.
Can we get a little bit of? Can we get a little bit of that upper? Can we get a little bit of that?
What are you trying to see?
Can you get a little bit of this? Show, give the people what they want. Little skin. See, I'll give you a little skin right here. Yeah. Listen, it's after 2 a.m.
I can't give you skin. I got an undershirt on.
Just pull it down. Give the people a little bit. Yeah, that's right.
That is more of my chest than any of my kids have ever seen.
That's what I want to see right there.
Look at that.
No context on Twitter is gonna screen grab this and put it out there.
That's as close as I can get to being a muss.
Okay.
That's as close as I can get to muss.
Let's go.
That's as far as I go with it.
We're done.
Good night.
CBS Monday.
NCIS.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.